John chapter number 1, and we'll try to be, try to read and give you what the Lord's given me. The Lord's given me a good message. I hope I can. My biggest fear as a preacher is my, God gives me something and I lack the ability without God. I lack the ability to give it to you. If it ain't for God, I wouldn't have that ability. I used that example earlier when I was praying. I believe that that's a picture of the church when God gave the disciples, took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and broke it up and fed 5,000. You know, that's a picture of the church. God takes one little bit right here and He's able to break this up and feed millions of people around the world every day. Those that come to hear from the Word of God, that's, I believe that's the way God intends. And so my biggest fear is that I cannot relate to you what God's given me. Because, I mean, I'm up there last night getting ready, praying over this message and everything else. And, man, I'm excited. And, but then, you know, I come in here and I just, you know, sometimes I just can't get it out in words, all that God has given me. And so, you know, and that's happened many times. But I do want to give you what God's given me this morning. Let's read John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 14. And then we'll pray and we'll get started. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. I pray that your Spirit, God, would rest upon me, Lord, this morning. I pray that you would help me, God, to give these people what you've given me, to break the bread of life, to take the Word of God and feed these people, God. And Lord, if there's one lost in here this morning, God, 2 or 3, whatever it may be, God, this morning, I pray that today would be that day of salvation. I pray that you would show them their need, God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the Word of God, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Help us this morning, God, as we give forth the Word of God. Help us as we preach the Word, God. I pray that you would do a great work in hearts this morning. God, I know that long before we got here this morning, all the way back before the foundation of the earth was laid, you knew who was going to be here this morning, and you knew what I was going to preach. And I just pray, God, that you would just take it now. Speak to the hearts of everyone here, God, whatever way they need to be spoken to. Move on their hearts. Let the Spirit of God fall in on us, Lord. God, I'm not afraid of the Holy Spirit of God. I believe we need it for conviction, for, Lord, reproving us of our sin, God, for getting us, Lord, in the right place. And I pray this morning it would deal with hearts, deal with my heart also, God. And Lord, I'm not out of this, God. I'm part of this, God, that I need the Spirit of God to lead, guide me, Lord. Now, Lord, just help us this morning. We'll be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask these things in Jesus, the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. If you're taking notes and titling this, I just titled this The Word for now. We're just going to go through John right now. I feel like the Lord may just have us walk through the book of John for now, but we'll see. God may change my mind by next Sunday, but as right now, we're right here in John chapter number 1, the Word here in verse number 1 through 5 says, it says, who he is. That's not a question. This is a statement. Who he is. In the beginning was the Word. If you got a King James Bible, that King James's Bible this morning, make sure that you know that that word is capitalized, because it's a specific word. There's not the multiple words of God. There's one word of God. And we need to know, and we need to have it settled in our heart this morning, what the Word of God is. There is only one Word. That's why it's important what version of the Bible. That's why it's important what we use, because there is only one Word of God. There's only one Word of God this morning that came from the Textus Receptus. Most of you probably have never even heard the term before. But the Textus Receptus means the received text. There's only one Word of God that's out in print this morning that came from that Textus Receptus. That's the King James Bible. Every other version of the Bible came from the corrupt manuscripts that came out of Alexandria, Egypt. Did you know Bob told us we're not even to take so much as a horse from Egypt? In the Old Testament, he told him, he said, don't you even turn around, don't you go back to Egypt, don't you get so much as a horse from Egypt. What did Solomon do? Solomon right down there in Egypt. What happened to Solomon? He fell. God told us we're not even to take so much as a horse, so much of a horse from Egypt. But yet every other Bible, every other version, they get their manuscripts from a Greek, from a manuscript, the Alexandrian version, which comes out of Egypt. The only Word of God this morning that comes from the Textus Receptus. You know, a lot of people think, well, the New King James Bible, they did not revise the King James Bible with the New King James Bible, with the old 1611. They used the corrupt Greek manuscripts that Alexandrian version that they produced that New King James Bible out of. That's why we take a stand on the King James 1611. I know it's not the exact 1611 edition. You can go and pick one up. We've had this discussion in Bible study. If you went and picked up a 1611 edition, you would be able to read it, because English was not totally developed at that time. The S's were F's in different letters. But they revised the King James Version. They went through it, cleaned it up, purified it. The Bible says the Word of God is purified 7 times. Do you know how many times they went through the King James Bible to clean it up from the printing mistakes? There wasn't mistakes in the Bible. They just made mistakes when they printed it. You know how many times? 7. It's funny. That's not a coincidence. That's the Bible. The Bible says, thy word is purified. Thy word have I purified 7 times. The King James Bible was purified 7 times. They went through it cleaning up printing mistakes. Not mistakes in translating it, but where they made mistakes in printing it. They put 2 O's one time when they were putting God. They put 2 O's in God. And so they had to go back and take that out. When they changed the F's, the S's, those different things, they went through there 7 different times and they revised it. But the words all remained the same. The only word that changed was the word God one time. They made a mistake and they put 2 O's and made it good instead of God. But it was obvious of that. Other than that, this is a 1611 edition. Other than they just corrected what they made mistakes when they printed it. There's only one Word of God this morning, and I believe in it. I stand true to it. I stand firm on this King James Bible. I don't back down. I don't compromise on it. I'm not giving up or giving in. There's no contradictions or mistakes in there, because we've gone through this in Bible study a little bit, and we'll hit more on it when we get into it on Sunday night about the Word of God and why this is important. But this is important because there is one Word of God, and that Word of God is Jesus Christ. That Word of God is Jesus Christ, and that's why it's important. Because so many people out here say, well, there's contradictions in there. Yes, there is, and I agree with you. All those other versions, there's contradictions, and I could name many of them for you this morning in each and every one of those versions. I could give you many of examples of them, of the contradictions in those words. But this King James Bible, you won't find it. They're not like that. There's not contradictions. One of the biggest things that these new versions do is they attack the deity of Jesus Christ. You'll notice in this King James Bible, every time it's translated, Joseph and his mother. Joseph is never credited with being his father. But you go look at all of these new modern versions, and guess what they do? They say his father and his mother, because they're trying to bring Jesus down to our level. That's why those Jehovah's Witnesses, Lord forgive, I'm not trying, I don't usually call out denominations. But the Jehovah's Witnesses, that's why they believe God was just a man, because they used a corrupt manuscript, and they've tried to say that God, that Jesus was just a man because it says his father and his mother. Of course, when you use a corrupt manuscript, it's going to tell you that. But this King James Bible tells us that Joseph and his mother, he did not have an earthly father. He had a heavenly father. He's just 100% God. He was 100% man. And sometimes both of them showed out at different times. He was 100% man, and he needed he was thirsty at the well, and the woman needed to come there to the well. He was 100% God, because when that woman came to the well, he saved her soul. God was 100% man, in that he was sleeping, needed rest out on the ship, but he was 100% God. When they needed saving, he kind of rose up, calmed the winds of the sea. And this Bible right here tells us all these things. Who he is, he's God this morning. First Colossians chapter number 1, hold your place here if you flip. Colossians chapter number 1. Yes, I'm a little excited this morning. Yes, I'm happy this morning. My God, my Lord, my Savior, my God, they're all the same one. Here it says in Colossians, Paul reaffirms this. Here in Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. That ought to make you happy. That ought to make you... Listen, if you're saved this morning, he's delivered you from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. I believe in a bloody religion. That's one of the other things that those modern versions leave out. They take out the blood of Jesus Christ. Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Without his blood, if he had not shed that blood on Calvary, we'd still be lost on our way to hell. That blood, when God sees us, when we're saved, God doesn't see our sins. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not saved by God's grace, Isaiah says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The best that any one of us can do. That's why those Jews die lost. They don't go to heaven because they're the chosen ones. No, they die lost because they have rejected the blood of Jesus. They are the apple of God's eye, but they still must be saved the same way you and I are, which is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Isaiah told them, said, you're all of our righteousness. Or as filthy rags. That's Isaiah 64:6, if I remember correctly. In the book of Zechariah, he talks about the high priest Joshua, which was the high priest that had to enter into the Holy of Holies. And he says here he was standing before God, and all he was in was in filthy rags. All he was in was in filthy rags, because that's all the way every one of us, whether the high priest, the pope, or this preacher, to the drunk on the street, every one of us stand before God in filthy rags if we're not saved by his blood. If we're saved, all he sees is the blood of Jesus, and he's imputed Jesus' righteousness unto us. Let me move on now. He says now, who is the image, verse 15, who's the image of, and or who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created. This is talking about Jesus. We talked about his son. That's why I backed up to those verses. All things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he... This is why Jesus did not get created when he was born. He was already there. It says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Not all things exist. By him all things consist. You know, if it wasn't by the word of God, if it wasn't by Jesus this morning, we'd all just fly apart. Atoms would just fly apart if it wasn't held together by the word of God. By him all things consist, is what the Bible says. We consist right now. We're held together by Jesus, by the word of God. He is and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That's what it was talking about. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus ought to have the preeminence in everything in your life. Preeminence is that's it. The King, the Lord. He ought to be the most important thing. That's what preeminence means. He ought to be the most important thing in your life. Some of you are a little nervous this morning thinking, man, he's shouting. Listen, if you was at the ball game, you'd be shouting, screaming, hollering, and it's amazing, ain't it? We go to the ball game and they go taking their shirts off, painting their bellies up. It's sub-zero temperatures, and we think, oh, they're just a fan. They're just a fan, Gary. But I love the Lord because he saved my soul and I get to live with him eternally, and I'm a fanatic. Think about that. You don't see me running around in sub-zero temperatures taking my clothes off acting like a fool, but because I'm excited in church this morning, I'm a fanatic. Well, that's all right. I can't think of anything better than be a fanatic about the Lord Jesus Christ. Save my soul from hell.
If I don't touch you this morning, it's probably because you ain't never met the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is God. Jesus is God. Number two, it says, and the same was in the beginning with God. Jesus is, in the beginning was with the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Word of God. Back in Genesis chapter number 1, we went through this as we went through the book of Genesis. Listen, if you're missing out on Tuesday night, you're missing out on some good stuff. We went over it there in Genesis chapter number 1. Guess what you can find? You'll find God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You'll find the Word of God. God speaks, which is the Word of God, which is the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit moves on the face of the deep and moves on the different things. All three of them were right there in Genesis chapter number 1. From the beginning, all three of them were right there. Jesus is the Word of God. 1 John 5 says, this reaffirms it. Very important verse in your Bibles right here. 1 John chapter number 5, we'll start in verse number 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You want to overcome this world? You want to listen, all my troubles ain't gone, but I know who's taking care of them this morning. I know who's going to take care of me. I heard a man, I never got to hear him in person, meet him in person, but I've heard him say it on tape. Brother Billy Kelly's a big old man, used to preach in evangelism. Brother Billy Kelly said if there was going through a drought and there's one biscuit left in town, he knew by the Word of God that he was going to be on one end of that biscuit, because God promised to take care of his own. God's promised to take care of us. Verse number 5 says, and who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. That means he was born of a woman, but he had the blood of God in him. He couldn't have had the blood of Adam in him. If he had the blood of Adam, he'd have been sinners just like you and I. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven. There's three. This is a very important verse. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word. You'll notice that Word is capitalized again. And the Holy Ghost. These three are one. That verse is very important, because it tells us that all three are God. All three of them are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. The Spirit of God, the water is the Word of God, represents the Word of God, and the blood, Jesus' blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Listen, if you'll believe man, you ought to believe the witness of God. For this is the witness of God, that which he had testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. these things. What are these things? The things we just went over. All these things. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Listen, many of these religions go out here and they teach people, if you do this, you do this, you may get to make it into heaven. That's not loving God. God doesn't want you guessing that you're going to make it into heaven. God wants you to know these things that I've written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He doesn't want us leaving this earth with a hope so. He wants us to leave here knowing that we're going to I don't care what man says. The witness of God is great. He said, if we believe on Him, we'll put our faith and trust in Him, we can know that we're going to die and go to heaven with Him. We don't have to put our faith in. You're not putting your faith and trust in the Baptist church. You're putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you put your faith and trust in the church, let me go ahead and say this. You're going to die once in a while. And when you leave this earth, I don't care what the other religions say. When you die and leave this place, the Bible says, David talked about it when he lost his son. When he's dead and gone, there's nothing else that you can do. When you leave this world, when you die, you either make the choice to put Jesus Christ as your God and as your Savior, or you'll die and you'll go to hell.
That's the only choice. That's it. And this morning, if you leave here this morning lost, you've made that choice. And God's done what He can this morning to tell you the truth. He is God in the flesh. Next, He is life. It says, I love this, man. Because, one of the main things you always ask atheists, where did life come from? One of their laws that they can never get by in evolution is that life can only come from life. It can never come from anywhere else. That's why evolution can never be true. Because in one time, then they'll tell you, well, just that one time it broke the law. No. See, the laws of nature are not the same thing as the laws of man. The laws of nature cannot be broken. Laws are set, that means they're there. The law of gravity, guess what? No matter how many times I cannot break the law. You could sit here, every one of us sit here for the rest of our lives and jump up and down. Guess what? We'll never break the law of gravity. The law that there is, that life can only come from life. Therefore, God has to be the giver of life. Here in verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John chapter 14, verse number 6 tells us, He says, let me read the whole thing. John 6:14, He is the life. Verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Not multiple ways. You can sit here and say, well, I believe in my church, and I believe in my baptism, I believe in my church. You go right ahead. Jesus said, I am the way. There is no other way. The way, singular. He didn't say, I am one of the ways. He said, I am the way, the truth. It's not my truth. You get mad this morning? It's the Word of God. If you want to debate anything I preach, go right ahead. I'll be glad to show you in the Word of God everything that I preach right from the Word of God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You'll not get to God the Father. You'll not get to heaven except by Jesus Christ in His shed blood, putting your faith and trust for the remission of your sins, for God washing away yours. That is the only way that you'll get to heaven, is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Jesus is life. God, and Jesus is God. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is life. That's who He is. Jesus is also the light. Jesus says here, He said the light, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehendeth it not. John chapter number 3, verse number 19 says, see, here's the problem right here with most of us. With all of us, our flesh, it's against our flesh. John chapter number 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Why do we do it? Because our flesh, we love darkness rather than light. Why do we not want to serve God? Because we love darkness rather than light. Why do we not want to be saved? Because
you love being, listen, the Bible's true. It says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But one of these days you reap what you sow, the Bible also says. And if you of the flesh, sow of the flesh, guess what? You'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow of the Spirit, you can reap of the Spirit eternal things. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. This morning, you have an opportunity to come to the light. You have an opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You have an opportunity to have your sins forgiven you. It's just a matter of putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Believing the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. It's believing that Jesus was God and that He died and paid the penalty for your sins on the cross. That He was buried and that He rose again 3 days to give us new life. It's just putting your faith in that. That's it. Just as simple as that. Coming to God. Bowing your knees before Him and say, God, I'm a sinner. I want to put my faith and trust in You. That's all it is. There's nothing special about it. I mean, there is something special about it, but there's nothing hard about it. Sorry. There's nothing hard about it. It's just a matter. Jesus said, except you come as a little child. You said, man, that's just too easy. I can remember the day when I got saved. November of 2000. It was on a Sunday night. I'm pretty sure it was November 21st, if I remember correctly. Or not November 21st. I forgot the date now. But it's around November 21st. On a Sunday night, on this side of the altar, I walked up there and could not believe how simple it was. I came up there to the altar and said, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins. And man, I felt the load lightened. I felt like a new creature. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. That's what happens when you get born again. John chapter number 3, he talks about it with Nicodemus. He talks about being born again. Peter talks about it, not of being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, living and abiding forever. That's why it's important what Bible we preach from, because he says you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. That's why it's important what we use. That's why it's important what we preach from. Because the word of God is what brings forth that new birth. I came forward this side of the altar. I can take you to the spot up there. It used to be Victory Baptist Church, Clemens, North Carolina. The church is still there, but it's New Vision Baptist Worship Center. That's what happens when you don't fight for the church. You let contemporary music come in and destroy the church. That's why we stand on the things we stand on, because we saw what happened. I can take you to the spot on this side of the altar where God changed my life. For the next 2 weeks, I went back to the altar. God, it cannot be this easy. It cannot be that easy, God said. It was. It was. It's just you humbling yourself before God and receiving His free gift. It's free. It's free. It's right here. All you have to do is receive. All you have to do this morning is just receive His free gift. If you've never done that, if you've never received salvation, today could be that day that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. One more thing, and I'm going to finish up with this, because I want you to know how easy it is, and I'm just going to finish right here. Ephesians chapter number 2. Here's the problem. In our flesh, if I told you this morning, see, this is how fleshly we are. If I told you this morning that all you have to do is give $100,000 this morning and you could be guaranteed to go to heaven, you know what our flesh would do? We'd be doing everything we could to come up with that $100,000. Because that's how we are. That's why all these other religions and denominations and everything are keep growing and stuff like that, because it's all about a work of salvation. It's all about me, me, me. But Ephesians chapter number 2 tells us here, verse number 4, but God, see, there's the thing, but God, not man, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. For even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, Skip on down to verse number 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Here's why. Not of works, lest any man should boast. See, that's the problem with most religions working their way into heaven. People want to boast about themselves. Let me tell you something. My God took away a filthy mouth, a dirty mind when He saved me, 18 years old. I already started drinking, doing a lot of things in the world, but God saved my soul. There's not a thing that I can worry about. Matter of fact, you go to Romans chapter number 6, look at verse number 21. It tells you of the things whereof you are now ashamed. I don't say those things lightly. It makes me ashamed. I hope that my daughters are saved right off the church pew. It takes the same blood, the same faith that it took to save me and my wife. Listen, we didn't come from religion. We didn't come out of the Baptist church. My wife was raised Catholic. I was raised Methodist. It's not about denomination. It's about a faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's not of works. It's just putting your simple faith and trust in Jesus. That's it. And if you ain't done that this morning, and you leave here, I've done all I can do to tell you what the Word of God says and truth of the Word of God. My question to you this morning, are you saved by the grace of God? Have you been saved by the grace of God this morning? If not, this altar's open this morning. This altar's open this morning. Our Heavenly Father, let's all stand. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day and the preaching of the Word of God. I pray that You would just do a great work this morning.